Hi, Beth.
Hey, Beth.
You're Abby.
Dear Kiki.
Red Flag. Desperate Housewife.
Pinot Grigio.
Doesn't want to marry you. Love you like I love you. Don't talk to yourself.
Cheers, Beth.
Cheers.
Ill-advised.
This is ill-advised. Hi, Biffs.
Hello.
Hello and welcome.
Welcome to Ill Advised,
the podcast where two best friends tell you what to do when someone else already has.
Like your sex ed teacher.
And not Mr. T. The pity the fool. Right? That's Mr. T.
Yes.
Yeah. Right?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. I'm like, Mr. T or iced tea?
There's a big difference.
And is that racist?
My brain didn't go to
okay, good. It's not. Thank you. If this is your first time on the podcast, we podcast at you, not with you.
Aren't that all? Isn't that? Here we go again.
Shakespeare's back. It's been a while. To be or not to aren't thou.
Isn't that most podcasts?
Yeah.
Yeah, they podcast at you, not with you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Some people just need clarification. Hmm. And I'm here to
I thought you were like putting us in a different box than other podcasts.
Oh. Well, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
Hmm.
Oh. Do you want me to do that again?
Up to you.
I think you're feeling unsatisfied, and that makes me feel unsatisfied.
I'm not feeling unsatisfied.
We would make excellent bedroom partners. If you're not happy.
Who's on the menu tonight, Biff? I'm satisfied with that answer.
I'd rather not respond to that. Thank you.
So, how are you doing?
Good.
Yeah?
I don't know why I feel so embarrassed right
your
now.
Cheeks yeah. Literally are,
are they super red?
Yes.
Fucking fuck.
Oh, that's so funny. Why are you?
I don't know, but don't call me out on my shit.
Maybe tell me later.
There's nothing to tell.
How your weekend went or something.
No, I had my kid this weekend. My weekend did not went.
Wow. Then you're blushing for a reason. Oh, sir.
Fuck.
That was really funny. Next week,
that's my immune response.
Next week, we'll discuss why Biff is why Biff is,
I actually
no
don't.
Reason.
I mean, I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just okay.
Trying to survive stats.
Stats. Statistics.
Yeah.
I keep saying it like it's going to be funny.
Statistics.
Statistics. Statistics.
Yeah. They can stick to stick.
Yeah.
Somewhere. That X doesn't equal what I think.
Why? See what I did there?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I'm done being
can we dead. Drink?
Yeah. Yeah, we sure fucking can. We sure fucking can. So we opted for the sangria route this week.
Yes.
And we...
We love a sangria.
We love a sangria. We don't know what this is going to be tasting like.
We do not.
I did try it when I mixed it, but that was a very... tiny amount to just be like, okay or no okay.
It also wasn't like refrigerated or
anything. It was nice and warm.
Yeah.
But we used a 2022 Pinot Grigio from our friends at Francis Coppola.
Mm.
Cute green. I actually really like it.
Yeah.
Could I wear it?
You can wear anything.
Can you hold this just for a second?
Sure.
Like close to your face?
Sure.
Yeah, you need to wear that green.
Oh,
yeah.
This is my shade of green.
Yeah.
It goes with my green eyes.
It pulls them out like, holy shit. I don't know if I want to fuck you or your eyes.
Oh.
Or right between them.
It's my brain or my nose?
Oh. Well, your brain's bigger.
So my nose.
So we're drinking sangria.
Yes, we've created this off the cusp.
Yeah, off the cusp. I'll just read what we have for the wine, even though it's not the only thing we have here. It says, dramatic style, vibrant packaging, and fruit forward. Smooth wines are the signatures of Francis Coppola Diamond Collection. Our Diamond Collection Pinot Grigio offers refreshing flavors of tangerine, peaches, and pink grapefruit with notes of juicy pears and a touch of minerals.
Oh,
I did not read this because this all goes great with what I put in this fucking sangria. Delicious with grilled fish, a spinach salad, or light brunch fare. Learn more about their wines at francisfordcoppolawinery.com. It's a really long URL.
Can I try that dribble at the bottom of the barrel?
You sure can.
Can you open it?
I can. What, you don't know how to unscrew yourself?
I have one hand.
Oh, it smells lovely. I smell grapefruit. I'm just sniffing the cap.
It's warm, so it's hard to get, but it's not terrible. Have you tried that? This is why he's gay. Yep,
so women can get mad at me.
Yes.
I actually do taste the grapefruit on it.
Have you tried it before?
I have not, I don't think. I don't know. I like Coppola, but I like that Old Vine Zin, the red one. It's like my favorite wine in the whole world.
Well, maybe we'll try that next.
Although I did their Chardonnay recently, and I've been drinking it very slowly. It's still in my fridge.
I'm over Chardonnay.
Yeah.
I can't do it anymore.
Did we have that one that we didn't hate? Was that? Oh, no, that wasn't Chardonnay. Never mind. I digress. Sangria.
Yes.
Ginger, citrus, and a splash of framboise. I'm stirring too.
And it's pretty.
It
looks like I would order this at a restaurant.
Isn't it cute? Like a nice little tiot.
Oh my
Holy fuck. Wow.
That's fucking delish.
That's fucking number two. Number two. Aerate those citrus notes.
Wow.
That ginger. Holy fuck. Do we need a third one?
I mean,
keep up pretenses. Oh, your turn? Yeah. Yep. Oh, I hope time to fucking post this video.
This like looks and tastes and like I just ordered it at a restaurant. Like, can I try the ginger refresher?
Yeah, I'd like to be refreshed by ginger. Preferably milky white skin, very muscular.
Really?
It's the only way I like gingers.
Isn't that the only type of gingers that are milky white skin and
muscular?
Oh, muscular. Yeah. I messed that apart.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about like a muscular man with like milky white skin that's almost translucent that I'm like.
I don't know either.
No idea. Maybe you can't be white to be where I'm at. You know?
Yeah.
Like maybe that's like a psychological thing. Like I'm seeking out privilege that it's ultimate for. No? No, can't relate? Just me?
Yes, just you, I think.
Can you tell me what you would rate the sangria?
5 stars.
Definitely 5 stars. It's not too sweet. It's not too dry. It's very refreshing.
Super refreshing.
It is a bottle, your typical bottle of wine of the Pinot Grigio, a cup of ginger brandy, and 2 cups of lemon lime soda, aka Sprite. Sue us, I dare you. We just gave you publicity for the best sangria ever.
You're welcome.
And then, of course, our slices of lemon, lime, and orange.
It's fucking great.
It's fantastic. I just realized that we have straws, but I lined the rim with the orange peel. Like I rubbed it on there. That would have been a different experience.
Shit. All right, let's try.
Okay. Let's see if it goes from a 5 to a 6.
I don't know.
It made a little difference to me, actually. It tasted less sweet. Maybe it's the amount. Like it coats your tongue better than with a straw. I might get rid of the straw.
Do it up.
You have questions this week.
I have questions.
Where are we going this week?
To the Washington Post.
To the whoop.
With Carolyn.
Carolyn.
Hex.
She's the meaning for the word advice. Nice. No? You liked it. It's fine. In this life, I only strive to make you happy.
Your boyfriends do the same.
My boyfriends strive to make you happy?
Yeah.
They sure do. Because they fucking know.
Right.
If she doesn't like you, it's over.
Yeah. This is from March 14th. His version of respect for women results in few second dates.
Oh. Republican?
We'll find out.
All right.
I am 29 and single. I have a very strong mother who raised me to treat women with respect. I was taught women are strong, intelligent, and independent, and that women don't need any special treatment. When I go on dates, I treat them that way. I respect them, but I don't offer to hold their door open or always take my car. I ask if they want to drive, and I always split the check rather than pay for them. I think it's insulting to think women are fragile and we need to treat them as if they are. As you can imagine, I don't get very many second dates, and most of my female friends say I act like a jerk. Am I a jerk? Should I change my way of thinking or stay strong to my beliefs and remain single? B from Maine. Well, that explains that. B from Maine.
That was the whole question?
Mm-hmm.
That's nice and sweet and short and all the things in between.
Should I change my way of thinking or stay strong to my beliefs and remain single?
I think not change your way of thinking, but be open to other possibilities. I think your way of thinking that women are not weak or I don't remember what the exact wording was. I want to say insufficient. Nope. Like I accidentally swiped my card one too many times.
I think it's insulting to think women are fragile and that we need to treat them as if they are.
Okay. I agree with that. I think it's also insulting. I think you just need to change the way that you think about it because there's different ways to think about it when you're talking about dating etiquette. Yes, you don't want to insult a woman by thinking that she's fragile and et cetera. You know what I mean? Like not independent, blah, blah, blah. Like I understand that that's today's culture, right? To be like very conscious as a woman, as a human, not as a woman, you know, like that kind of idea, which sure, for some people that works. And for others, it's like, you know, I like to be very old fashioned and blah, blah, blah. And then depending on which one of you is old fashioned is a whole other story.
Right.
But I think dating etiquette is if you're asking someone out on a date, then you're offering to bring them out and you're offering to foot the bill. Personally, I don't know if that's like universal. I think that if I invite somebody fair, out, right. If I ask someone out, then I'm like, I'm buying. And then if they fight me at the table, it's like, no. I asked you.
Right.
Right. Which has happened, you know? And it's like, well, if we make it to number two, then you can help me. If they insist and put their card down, there is no number two. Because that, to me, that's their decision. And usually it's true. Oh, we did not vibe. Okay, fine. Thank you.
Right.
Yeah, but I think that that's different than chivalry, if you will.
Mm.
I think that that's just more dating etiquette. Don't think change your way of thinking. I think be open to other possibilities. If you invited somebody out, you know, foot the bill. If they want to put a card down, sure. Be like, I invited you. I'd like to pay for this, please. And if they're like, no, I insist, then let them. You don't want to fight another person and insult them. But if you're going to go down that route of dating, I don't think it's for me, a woman versus not a woman thing. It's more about dating etiquette.
That was a good answer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I'm stuck on the why opening a door or pulling her seat out or these types of things mean that we're fragile and not independent and in all these things.
Right. The chivalry.
Like, I don't.
That's part of a feminist movement. You know, it's not really men defining that. It's women who have, you know, historically just in
the world. Well, he's using these specific examples for reasons why he doesn't do them. He doesn't pull out chairs and he doesn't pay for first dates and he doesn't do all these things because that means that the woman is, you know, like that's insulting to her.
Yep.
And I'm just curious about how that was translated for him, where it's like.
Yeah, that's more modern, I feel like, because it is part of, like I said, like a feminist movement. This isn't something that I think he's conditioned to the world today where women are like, no, I don't need you to do that more often. Well, I don't want to say more often. Our region is a lot more progressive than most of the country. Yeah. But it's not, I don't think that that's how he's like, how do I put this? I feel like there is a social context to the way that he is treating it. Like he doesn't want to treat women like they're less than. He doesn't want to offend them because modern feminism says, like, we don't need a man. We don't need a man to do this for us. We don't need a man to do that for us. Where he's like, all right, I just want to be sensitive to that, which isn't right or wrong. It's where you're at, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But being so progressive as a country, more often than not, just trying not to fall on that outside where he's offending someone by needing to do that for them. But it's one of those things, I feel like, with cancel culture and being so progressive and, you know, abandoning the more conservative views, that you're either damned if you do or you're damned if you don't. And it's really a 50-50 chance as to whether or not that person likes it. And it goes lower if that person wants to address it or not.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I don't pull your chair out, what are the odds you're going to be like, oh, well, it would have been nice if you were more chivalrous, yeah, or you're just going to ignore stop talking to me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. My second point was, if this is consistently getting you the same response from every woman, like, yes, you need to rethink things.
Yeah. It could be a regional thing. It could be in Texas.
Like, it doesn't.
Where it's like, this is what we like as a general consensus.
Right, right.
Right.
Southern gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And fucking.
So if you're getting the same response from the majority of your dates, then yes, go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, I don't know. Go back to the drawing board. I would totally agree with that. I wouldn't say change your way of thinking. I would say change your approach. To me, those are different.
Well, I would argue to change your way of thinking.
Really?
Holding a door open for a woman doesn't mean she's these things that you listed.
No, it doesn't. I agree with you. But I think society has made you think that. One of that's what I mean.
Change your way of thinking.
That's what I mean. Like, it's either damned if you do, damned if you don't. Like, you're going to either find someone who likes it or find someone who's going to be offended by it.
Right, which was my point. Is he's clearly finding people that are like, this guy can't even fuck it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think if you stop telling yourself that, if I pay for a date, if I pull her chair out, if I hold the door open for her, if I offer to drive, that means I'm offending her, when you're getting your answer. You know what I mean? You're not getting second dates.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you're...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think we're saying the same thing in a different way, where I'm like, please don't change your way of thinking. Like, women are not weak and they can be independent. But like, change your approach. Like, a woman might like this. And if you're finding that you're in Texas, because it's the only example, and you're finding that most women are put off by this, then are you willing to go that extra mile to hold a door open for her or pull her chair out for her? I think we're thinking the same thing, but in different perspectives.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. Because I'm with you.
Yeah, because I'm not going on a second date.
You're not. I am.
Fuck no.
They're like, no, I don't need no man's.
But I'm
I do. I mean, I'm closest. I'm a close. Hold I'm more woman open. In this relationship than you are.
Hold my door open. Tell me I'm pretty. Pay for my food.
Yeah.
I'm very much that girl.
Yeah, you don't ask guys out, do you?
No.
Once, have you ever? I can't recall.
I gave a guy my number one time and never heard from him.
But that's not asking a guy out. That's just giving a guy your number.
No, I probably never have asked a guy out.
Why?
Just
because of that, that dynamic,
like
the traditional.
Yeah. But also, like, if a man's interested, you'll know. You know what I mean?
No, but I can't disagree with you because I'm oblivious. So I'm just going to take the back seat here and just nod. When a guy's interested in me, I have no fucking idea.
But in general, if you're dating somebody or you're talking to somebody, it's obvious the guys that are into you or the guys that are just like, own up.
Well, I would say more like if you're like, meet someone and your interaction is that way. Rather than when you're dating them, they kind of like you if they're starting to date you, right?
Yeah.
But if you just meet them, do you know? Like, do you get a feeling all the time? Sometimes I think somebody likes me and I'm like,
yeah, if he's holding doors open and he's doing all these things, that's showing interest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Versus this guy who just comes, sits at the table, throws half of the bill down and, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I know. I definitely agree with how that can
then
be.
It's like, definitely like, oh, okay.
Oh, you asked me out, but we're friends.
Yeah.
Right. Clearly. Not even like relationship or like sexual interest or any of that.
Yeah.
Now it's just like, oh, you're looking for something platonic. Me. Oh, or that.
Like, this guy, well, this clearly.
Oh my God. Imagine if they don't even hate that, but they're
imagine going home and being like, so first of all, he made me drive to somewhere I didn't know where I was going. Mm-hmm. Then he was already inside sitting down at the table. And then the bill comes and he's telling me how much my half of the date is going to cost. And you know what I mean? Your friends are going to be like, girl, yeah. Run.
Run. Yeah, it's true.
So I think that's part of like, I'm not going to ask a man out because if he wants to go out with me, he probably has already asked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. My example was going to be along those lines where it's like everything went great up until the time the bill came.
Mm.
And it was like, your half is XYZ.
Yeah. So you're that
like,
actually happened to me. Oh, you don't like me.
You don't like me. So yeah. We're good.
That actually happened to me.
Go on.
It was some guy I had the hugest crush on in high school for so long. But I like, he was like a big football, you know, and I'm not one of the popular girls or not a cheerleader girl. So I just never like, no way. And then.
Were we in school together at this point?
Yeah.
Was it before?
No, it was.
While we were in school together?
Yeah.
Okay. I just don't know you as not being a popular person.
No, I was like.
You were not preppy. You were not the popular preppy.
No, I was like the bitchy. You know, you can't sit with us.
That's what got you notoriety, Regina George. Yeah.
But I wasn't the girl next door, you know, like the football player and the head cheerleader, that type of.
Oh, sure.
I wasn't in okay. that. But anyways, it was like a year, maybe two after we graduated. And he had just like randomly hit me up on Facebook and we had just kind of small talked. And I think I had finally mentioned I would blush every time you even like looked at me. Like I couldn't even say hi to you. I was like, and he was like, what? Like, no way. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah. Like that never happens to me. Like I'm very outspoken.
Were we at the manor when you went on a date with this person? Like it wasn't in high mm-mm. school when you went on a date with them, right? Like, it was after high school.
We weren't at the manor. It was after high school, but I wasn't at the manor.
This sounds vaguely familiar, and so I'm just trying to connect the dots.
Yeah, I can't even remember his name, or I'd tell you.
Great. Fuck you.
I know. Anyway, so he finally, one time, was like, well, like, let's go out to dinner or something. And I was like, oh my God, yeah. Like, all giddy and nervous and whatever, and we go out, and he's like, oh, I just got to make a quick stop. I think we went to Applebee's maybe.
Oh, sure.
And.
Which is my first sign.
So,
that I'm not having a second date.
We were it was right after high school. So we were younger.
Oh, okay.
You know.
All right. Yeah, sure. We had no money. Still don't, but we had no money.
So he stops at Barnes & Noble and he comes out and he's all excited. He's like, oh my God, I've been wanting this book forever.
Harry Potter.
It's something like an adult Harry Potter type of.
Oh.
Like, yeah. Like witches, sure. Warlocks, and wardrobes.
Oh, like the Chronicle of Narnia?
No.
Thing?
Like what's that? Dragon game or book or something. It's like a dragon's, you know, that like a very particular group of people. It's like
the people that LARP, live action role play.
Probably.
Like, does he walk around with a sword?
So, no.
All the power to him.
But that's why I was
he's not reading his audience.
And he likes, right. So he gets in and he's like going off about this book. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, okay.
Hey, look, Applebee's.
Yeah. Oh my
God. Literally in the same plaza. Okay.
Like, yeah. So anyways, so we go and it wasn't like a terrible dinner. Like it wasn't dreadful or. It was cool. And then the bill came and he takes the bill. So I'm like, okay, like maybe we can forget about the Warlocks book. And he like gets a pen out and then he does something on the paper and like
it was math.
Slides it back to me and has my price circled. Like, yeah, has it circled in pen. And we were supposed to go see a movie after dinner. And I was like, I think it's getting kind of late. You know, I'm a little bit tired. So I think I'll just go back home.
He didn't fulfill your needs.
Well, that was like, okay, that was the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It was pretty much the whole cake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Minus his.
The fact that you were willing to get over the dragon warlocks.
Yeah.
On paperback or hardcover.
Yeah.
Whichever is actually pretty telling that you liked this guy.
Yeah, I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, and all he gave you was doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, and I remember coming home and my dad was like, oh, you're home early. And I was like, yeah. And he's like,
yeah, he's quick. Sorry, Pop.
No, he actually said something about didn't go well. And I was like, I don't think we're a match.
Yeah.
And then he said, did he pay for the date? Shut and I up. Looked over fucking at my Pop. Dad. And he just kind of like smirked and shrugged.
He knew.
Yeah.
Fucking Pop. Pop knows how to be a gentleman.
He does. He definitely
he sure does.
Taught me a lot of like what to look for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, Pop is the reason or the I think in my head when I talk to you about like these traditional gender roles and, you know, nuance versus old school, like Pop is the person that pops into my head to be like, okay, this is what she grew up with, like what a man should be.
Yeah.
Like this is your role model for what you should be looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only thing that like I think about that could be to like your detriment is like you're never gonna find your dad.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
So like maybe like loosen up on the requirements a little bit.
No, never.
You know, the extreme ones, like the extreme Pop versus modern day Pop.
Like what?
I don't know. I'm really, I'm grasping at straws here. I'm just saying, you're never going to find Pop. Pop never is a dime a never. Dozen. He's a dime a dozen, you know him, right?
I know. The girl can strive.
She sure can. Did we get a response to this?
We did.
Did we read it yet?
No.
I hate this episode.
Go on. Be from Maine.
Yeah.
Your mother instilled in you some valuable beliefs, but either she or you fashioned them into a needlessly blunt instrument. Dates have nothing to do with scoring political points. If you ask someone to dinner, you pay. Not because your dinner companion is financially dependent upon you, but because you are the host and the pleasure of someone's company is more than worth paying the tab. If you get to a door first, you hold it for the next person. Not because that person is too frail to handle the door, but because it's the courteous thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you are amenable to giving your companion a ride, then you offer a ride. Note that none of these is gender specific. Each is one person showing kindness to another. And people of all varieties appreciate kindness, even, especially, the strong, intelligent, and independent ones. You have female friends, so presumably you enjoy their company. So dating women needn't be any more complicated than your friendships. Try being kind, not right. See if that helps.
Perfectly written.
Yeah, that was your answer.
The thing that I really loved about this is it didn't take an old school, new school, right? Old school, new school approach. It was more like
it has nothing to do with.
Right. It's not. Doesn't matter how powerful, independent, et cetera, you are. We like to be treated like humans.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what side of the tracks you're from, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
More like, hey, going out on a date.
This is common courteousness.
Yeah, courteousness.
Yeah.
Is that a word?
I don't fucking know.
Okay, good. If I don't know.
I was going to say.
You definitely don't know.
Right.
I should stop asking you questions.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Psychology.
Okay.
Thank you. Next one.
When do parents tell their kids about grandma's side piece?
When her side piece is dead.
Or when grandpa is dead.
Unless she's in her 20s.
Oh.
I mean, he's in his 20s. They're in their 20s.
The side piece. Oh.
Matt, I'm sorry. If I'm guessing, I'm loving it. Go on, read.
Dear Carolyn, my mother-in-law is having an affair. She's still married to my father-in-law, but goes away for a week at a time about every other month with her current boyfriend. Mm. My kids, 3 years old and 5 months. What?
Well, there's your answer.
Her often. When she's away, they ask about her. We always say, Nana's out of town. I won't lie for her. I was lied to growing up, and it shattered me when I realized the truth about my parents. But I also don't want to excessively divulge things that aren't really age appropriate.
I want them to be close to their grandparents, and my husband wants them to be close to his parents. How or when do I start to address this? Signed, Nana's out of town. Okay. This is a bit traumatic.
Your five-month-old doesn't give a fuck.
And your three-year-old wouldn't know what you meant even if you told him the truth. So, please, go on. Your face is...
Ah! This is like, the
we're
most...
all waiting.
I needed... Like, I was getting mad. I was like, fuck the rest of your question. Mm. How 3 and 5 months? Is that
3 years old and 5 months. Yeah.
How are you going to...
Yeah.
Nana found a new grandpa.
Right. Oh, that's why I said, like, your five-month-old doesn't give a shit. And your three-year-old wouldn't know what you meant, even if you told
him. Your five-month-old is like, what the fuck is a Nana?
Yeah.
And your three-year-old's like, I like bugs.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry. But we can't, we all should discredit a person for feeling the way that they feel.
Sometimes you can. It's not, if your kid's like 10, 11, okay, then we can start like, how truthful can we be here? Like, does it matter?
Grandma's dipped her toes in a different lake. And she won't be coming back anytime soon. Grandma's out of town is sufficient. First of all, it's not a lie. If she's going away with her.
Right. And it's once a month.
Right.
How often are you?
Every
kids?
Other month, right?
Every other month, yeah. Week at a time, every other month.
Okay, so I've never said this before, which actually surprises me. And I'm not trying to discredit someone else's feelings, but it feels like, hey, I like this person. I should send them a question. I want attention in a publication. I should say, because this is a non-issue right now. Also, none of your business. If it's your in-law, let your husband or wife, like, right. Let them address this.
It's a fair point.
We had a very similar question recently where it was like, should I tell my kids about the grandparent who was a quote-unquote racist?
Yeah.
You know, like...
The cop grandpa.
Yeah. So it's like, it's not your job as the in-law to speak on behalf of your parent-in-law. Mom-in-law, dad-in-law, your parental units in-law.
Yeah,
units. Unlawful parentals. Does that, it's right, right? Parents in-law, in-law parent. Your husband's, parents. Your significant other's in-laws. Parents.
In-laws.
But that's the whole fucking boat. Sister-in-law, brother-in-law.
No, in-laws I think is specific to.
Is it?
Like my in-laws. My parents. Parents-in-laws.
Okay. All right, sure. Either way, you're making a mountain out of not even, out of an anthill.
Yeah, like you so much want there to be an issue.
You just want to be acknowledged.
When do I tell my three-year-old that his grandmother is a cheater?
When he can identify blue and purple, when he goes to school.
I feel like mom's a Karen.
And says, Mom, what's cheating? Because he's not going to learn that. Look. Oh, I can't. This is why I screamed.
It was very fitting.
I feel super judgmental.
I know, but like, not really, because we're parents.
Yes.
Specifically, I have a four-year-old. My brain wouldn't even go to, like, when do I tell my toddler that her grandma is not, you know, like...
That Nana has a new banana.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Lie to your toddler and be like... grandma's sick. Like, but what you said, like...
She's out of town.
Nana's away.
If she goes away every other month like, with...
Nana's busy. Nana's away. Nana's out with her friend. Like, your toddler doesn't give a shit, first of all. Second of all, why are you, like... Can I read... I'm super curious. Can I just read the answer?
Please. Please get us through this.
To please. Quote a classic cartoon... How about never is never good for you?
What cartoon is that?
I don't know. I can't see when it becomes anyone else's business that two people have what sure sounds to me like an open marriage. Grandparents are sexually
autonomous.
Yep. Grandparents are people too. This is between Nana and Pop Pop and others they choose to include. The end. That's the whole answer to your specific question. But your asking it raises other questions, because that is either one wildly precocious 5-month-old you've got there already asking where Nana is, or you are wildly premature in worrying what the dear children will think of something they may never have reason to know.
I've never had so much trouble swallowing a fucking sip of a drink.
Or you are projecting your discomfort onto the kids because it feels better with a protecting the innocence spin. Whatever your motivation, I'm now motivated to write about parents' responsibility to each kid, what it is and isn't their business. People certainly can say why they're not coming over if they want, like, I have the sniffles, but they are not accountable to us and do not need to explain or even apologize unless they're actually sorry. Alas, not today. That's a complete and acceptable out. So, I understand you have a tidy dodge when Nana happens to be out of town, but when Nana is merely absent, not away, there's no need for explanatory alarm. You don't have to scrounge up some other truth explanation to cover for her. Nana has other plans today. Nana's busy. Nana couldn't be here.
Couldn't make it, yep.
These suffice whether she's doing things you find objectionable, doing things you don't find objectionable, or alphabetizing her socks.
Alphabetizing her socks.
If your kids push for more information as they mature, then respond by modeling boundaries. I miss Nana today too, but we don't have to know why someone doesn't come over. Let's respect people's privacy. Normalize this through repetition, applied to everyone, not just Nana. Also, while we're here, your kids' educations on how to be part of a loving, trusting relationship are already well underway, even the babies this time. That's why it's wise to remain mindful of what you model for them. It will come in particularly handy, though, if your kids ever notice the adults in their circle are living more than one of the many variations on the trusting relationship theme. Think honesty, always tempered with tact, respect, privacy, need to know, and a lot of deep cleansing breaths, and you'll be more or less okay.
It's important to note that we will be cutting out a lot of this.
Okay.
Very long response.
Yeah, I could have ended.
But a good response. Like, it was comprehensive. Yeah. She warned us. She sure did.
Yes.
But very comprehensive. And yes, any objection to any of that?
No.
At all?
No, because she said what I said, just more tactfully.
Yep. Mind your fucking business.
Like, your 5-month-old doesn't give a shit. Yeah. Like, and like, your toddler wouldn't get it even if
when she's like, you're an
clearly
awful,
having an issue.
Awfully precocious with, yes. five-month-old.
Yes.
I was like, well, seriously.
Oh. Yes, because that was my thought. It was like, if you're having, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I have to tell my kids, I'm not going to lie to them for Nana because she wants to be out cheating. Like, there's the issue isn't right. Your 3-year-old.
To me, it's like, I really want to write to Carolyn. So I need something.
No, mine was like, this is her mom version of, can I talk to the manager? Like, that's what I felt.
Let's head into one more.
Is it bad mouthing to discuss ex's mental health with his kids?
Okay, great. I'm ready.
Hi, Carolyn. I have been divorced for 5+ years. Co-parenting 3 kids in a very small town. It has been okay for the most part after a very acrimonious start. 2 of the children are now off in college. 1 is still home. Their dad is going through some severe mental health challenges and is no longer speaking to me. He won't do family counseling, refuses to attend joint events, sends unpleasant text messages, and stuff like that. There wasn't any big trigger or event between us. He just is not being a good parenting partner as he has been in the past. My children have noticed and asked me questions. I don't want to badmouth their dad, but I'd like them to know I have actively tried to repair the relationship and been rebuffed many times. How much, if any, do I share with them? Divorced. That's a really good question.
Wait, did I miss the part where the mental health thing comes into play? I was too busy paying attention, but no.
It's been okay for the most part. Blah, 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 blah. Their dad is going through some severe mental health challenges and is no longer speaking to me.
Okay, so I got that. So there wasn't anything specific about what those mental health challenges are or if they're substantiated?
Correct.
So we're just going to assume that those mental health challenges are a thing.
Correct.
This is a perfect example of not enough information.
Correct.
Thank you.
Is this something that has been ongoing?
Right.
Is this...
Did you diagnose him?
Right.
Like, if I've now, diagnosed a narcissist before.
Now, right.
But I mean, the signs are clear. I was right. But have I diagnosed someone with bipolar disorder? No. Because I stay away from those people. Just kidding. It's me. Here I am.
He won't do family counseling, refuses to attend joint events, sends unpleasant texts. So maybe this has been like a pattern in their marriage, or like they've gone through this before and whatever. That's going to be our assumption, I guess.
Because it doesn't sound like this is something like that's been like professionally diagnosed. It's just like you're fucking... Gaslighter with
you like, know oh I mean? Yeah, this week we're fighting.
Yeah, that's much better than because gaslighter, you're probably right.
This is a really good question. Because the children are
they're adults.
Yeah.
And they are asking questions.
Yes, they've noticed.
And does it say anything about them asking him? No, right?
Mm-mm. My children have noticed and asked me questions. I don't want to badmouth their dad, but I'd like them to know I've actively tried to repair the relationship and been rebuffed many times.
I think those are two separate things. Letting your kids know that you've tried repairing the relationship versus whether or not you should tell them that he has a mental health issue or that appears that he might be. If they're asking specific to something mental health, that's a different answer, but like, you know, how have you dealt with dad's indecisiveness or dad's inability to gauge? Like, I've tried fixing that, to engage, rather.
Sorry. Yeah, so my guess is that they're not aware of dad's mental health stuff. They're just noticing, like, wow, dad won't even come to our birthday. Dad,
so now I'm assuming that there is a diagnosis.
There doesn't have to be a diagnosis if mom's dealt with, she's experienced this type of thing with dad before.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yep, I do. Because I've been there.
Yeah.
You've been there.
And now they're divorced, so things are more apparent to the kids. Because, we used to have Christmas together, and now kids, dad's not coming.
Even before they're adults, they fucking know. We knew. We fucking know.
Oh, of course they know. I think that's why they're asking.
No, but I mean, like, just a... In a general sense, like kids, like
I know we're always like,
oh, okay. We're in right.
We want to keep them from getting like,
yeah,
you're hurting me by not telling me because bitch, I know.
Yeah. And I wish I would have just said that as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, instead of pretending to be ignorant to it. I don't think you need to talk about the mental health issues. Well, actually, I'm torn.
Mm.
What's your idea of the mental health issue versus what have you tried to repair? You know, like, you don't have to go into the mental health issue. You don't have to talk about things you've tried to repair. But if your kids are like, you know.
How come dad won't come around anymore? How come?
I don't really know. Do you have to go into your history as a response to that? I feel like that would be my default also, by the way, just for the record. Like, I don't know. This is something we argued about while we were together.
I think if there is an assumed diagnosis. Mm-hmm. That's like mom's aware, dad's aware. Mm-hmm. I think it is important for the kids to know.
Right.
It does make a big difference.
Dad has a social anxiety. But I feel like at that point they would know. Although people aren't very open about mental health issues.
Yeah, I can't imagine
telling my
early teen kids that like, your dad's a narcissistic fuckbag and won't take his meds.
But even still, like, what would you say to a teen where they would get that without you bad-mouthing the parent? I don't think, if you're...
I think it's, for a parent, I think for me, it would be important for my kid to know that, like, dad's not just off the Richter. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he's actively struggling with mm-hmm. things that could potentially be out of his control.
See, I like that.
You know what I mean?
Response versus...
Your dad's an asshole.
Your dad's an asshole.
He won't talk to me. Or your dad said he can't come. Yep. He doesn't want to come because he's mad at me.
Because I was straddling my business versus not my business anymore. But then also my experience that my kids may or may not know or should or should not know. You know what I mean? It's different when you're a parent and you're kind of thrown in the middle of all of it.
I think it's a...
But I like your response. I think
it's important that it's like...
Your response kind of like leveled it for me.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, he's not all there.
Things are, dad's dealing with, you know, dad's going through things. Mm-hmm. It's not just like your dad's an asshole or your dad's intentionally not, he's intentionally not showing up to our family event things, but not just because he just doesn't want to or because he's mad. Like, I think it's important for my adult kids to know. Mm-hmm. There's other things going on. There's especially mental health things.
Right.
It makes a big difference.
Yeah.
And it also, maybe not.
No. Yeah. do you want me to just agree with you on that last part?
Well, I was just thinking, like, I want my kids to know that it's not me. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I don't want them to think, like, well, did you even tell dad about mm-hmm. the birthday party? Like, why is he not coming? Like, I want them to know that I'm trying actively, mm-hmm. but I also want them to know that, like, some things are out of his control. Like, he, you know, there's bigger reasons why mm-hmm. he didn't come to the birthday. But I was just thinking that, like,
But they had an acrimonious split. She doesn't really know why he's not partaking. Just, she only has past experience to base it on.
We don't know. Yeah. We don't know that.
We have no idea. I'm just trying to weigh the different scenarios.
My first thought was like he found a new bitch.
Oh, I didn't even go there. Like, I literally stayed on the mental health thing.
So now he's
like social anxiety and shit like that.
Well, I'm saying without us knowing for sure. My first.
Yeah, that's showing both perspectives on that too, though. Like,
he's got a new girlfriend. Mm-hmm. That's why he's not having birthday parties with you and he's not being as, you know.
Yeah.
It's like the, you know, a man who's cheating on his girlfriend always treats the girlfriend shittier. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But if there is a diagnosis and that type of thing, like, yes.
Yep.
It's important for your children to know. Yeah, your adult children.
And this is, I don't disagree with you. I'm thinking more like where I actually think this is where I would be torn in real life. What's my business and what's not? Can I communicate that in a way that I can let them know what I've dealt with without saying, like, without breaching your dad's confidentiality? This is assuming we're amicable.
I think if it's children, mm-hmm. both of yours biologically, mm-hmm. there is no what's my business and not.
That was my first question, actually, when you read the title, like, stepkids?
Yeah.
I think, I don't know. Yeah, I have no fucking idea. Other than, what was the question? How do you tell them without telling them? Sure.
How much do I share with my kids, if I share at all? My adult kids who have noticed that dad has been not acting normal.
I say go with the route that they are. I don't actually know how to articulate what I'm thinking, so
let me explain. I was going to say, I don't understand at all what you just said.
I don't know how to articulate it, so I'm glad. I'm glad you didn't get it, because that was the point.
Oh, good.
Okay. You don't know why he's doing what he's doing either.
I thought we were assuming that she does.
Oh, we are? Oh.
We were assuming that there was like a diagnosis. There is a diagnosis. That there's like...
Oh, okay.
Because there was no question of like... All of a sudden, you know, I don't know why, like, all of a sudden now he's doing this and that. It kind of read like, this is nothing new. Like, this is part of...
What about talking about someone's mental health is bad-mouthing them? Is it because it's taboo?
No, I think maybe like...
Or is it respecting another parent's
boundary? No, I think it might kind of... For me, as a mom, my concern would be like, oh, dad, mom told me you fucking have bipolar. You know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, of course she did. Like, your mom's the one with bipolar. That type of like...
Okay.
You know what I mean? Oh, dad has mental issues. Like, which is why we're not together anymore. Like, okay, mom, but you have mental issues too. Let's be real.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Like that type of like.
Yeah, I'm not used to that dynamic, so I don't even go there.
Okay, well, you're lucky.
I suppose. Like, sure. What about the rest of my fucking life? I can see what you're saying. I understand that.
It's like, how do I tell my kids that their dad has issues without sounding like I'm telling my kids that their dad has issues?
It's just so double-ended for me because it's also like, how do I tell my kids I've tried to fix this relationship but haven't because of these issues? And it's like, how much do your kids really need to know from you and your perspective? Sure, maybe they need to know about your ex's mental disorder, especially if it's directly impacting them,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, mm-hmm. dad's... God is going through the lows of bipolar and he won't talk to us. He won't see us. He won't open the door. He'll just right. talk through the door, blah, blah, right. blah. That's a whole other story. But like telling them about your relationship, they obviously know it didn't work out. How far do you need to go into it? I mean, your prerogative, well, I suppose.
That's her question.
Well, I think that's my answer. Like, how far do you really need to go into it? Like, let them know, like, hey, he's had an issue with this in the past. Maybe it's resurfacing. Whatever, like, I don't want you to take this personally. I know this affects you. What value is there? Like, this is something we talked through our entire relationship and he refused to address it. Like, what value is that there? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that gets to the borderline of, like, bad-mouthing.
Yeah. There's no value there.
Right.
So to me, it's like, you know, kind of, if we know that he's got an issue, it's directly impacting the kids, kind of like seeing it in your way, then sure. If it's relevant, then why not? I wouldn't be like, oh, dad's not talking to us. Yeah, he's mad at me.
Yeah, we know. Wait a month.
Yeah. I'd be like, dad's not talking to us. We tried getting a hold of him. Get more information as much as you can before mm-hmm. you're like, dad's manic depressive
mm-hmm.
or dad's got severe anxiety that sometimes cripples him and he needs to take his time, et cetera, versus that motherfucker used to fucking disappear on me months at a time, says he was in a hotel room with nobody but himself
yeah.
so that he could think. Like, what are you accomplishing with that? Let the kids draw their own conclusion on their dad.
Yeah, I think that's probably where the hesitation is. It's like, how much, if any at all, do I let them know without, like, mm-hmm. I'm not trying to shit all over this man, but the kids are asking questions.
Yeah.
Like,
I think baseline. Don't get into the more personal,
yeah,
more specific examples. Just be factual.
Yeah, that's a good point. Factual.
Yeah. Great, mm-hmm. thanks. I'm such a psychologist.
Mm. No, you're such a columnist.
This is what working with you does for me.
You're an advice columnist.
Oh, am I?
Yes.
I am. You've an advice podcasterist. So many.
Yes. Yeah. Podcasterist.
Pad. Podcasterist.
I want pad.
Huh? Pad Thai?
Yes.
Mm.
It is not bad-mouthing the dad to say he has severe mental health challenges if indeed he has severe mental health challenges.
Booyah!
That is fact, and your kids deserve facts. Oh,
fuck off.
See, you're a columnist.
I'm a columnist.
Also, presumably, you would tell them if he missed joint events because he was immune compromised or had a chemo appointment. So don't treat some health problems as too shameful to say out loud. Dad is dealing with blank, and right now he is not able to do things or interact as he has in the past. I'm rooting for him and doing what I can. Please feel free to come to me if you have any questions or need help with anything. That's it. That reminds me of the time that my old therapist, went on a rampage about, you know, if somebody...
Your therapist went on a rampage.
Yes.
When you were supposed to be on one.
Yeah.
Mine does the same thing. It's common then.
when they stopped the telehealth
mm-hmm.
And started saying that, like, patients couldn't do telehealth anymore unless they had like a medical condition.
Yeah.
And so I said like, oh, like severe PTSD or severe anxiety isn't, you know, like a medical condition.
Mm-hmm.
And she,
oh
yeah, do not get me started.
For filth.
Yeah.
Oh, she went off. Where you been, girl?
You can walk around with a cast on your arm and people are going to hold doors open for you and treat you like this and that and that. Mm. But once you tell them, oh, my brain has a cast, nobody gives a fuck. Suck it up. Yeah.
I miss Lucy.
I miss her so much.
Never met her. I just miss her.
But yes, that was a great point. Wow. Like, oh, your dad's sick. He can't come.
Right.
Versus your dad's sick. He can't come.
Yeah. My silence was all just like, mm-hmm. I admit defeat.
Yeah.
Like she met us and then she went even further.
Yeah.
Carolyn's always fucking brilliant. She really. What are her credentials? Do we know? Is there anything on that like column at the end of it or anything? Like Carolyn's a staff writer at XYZ. She went to school at the School of Hard Knocks and learned how to be a therapist at I've Seen It All University.
Carolyn started her column in 1997 after 5 years as a copy editor and news editor in Style and none as a therapist. She lives in Massachusetts with
Shut
her
up.
Husband and 3 sons.
Shut up! Mm-hmm. Carolyn, oh my God. That would be an honor to be among Carolyn. I'm just going to have to call her. Is she on the Yellow Pages?
Maybe.
Is that still a thing?
Do they even make...
Is that Google?
Do they make...
No. Phone books?
Phone books.
Yeah. See, we don't even know what they're fucking called anymore. Right. We used to use them to like prop up our TVs or something. I remember when I was a kid, there was this one number on the phone book that I memorized and I would call every single day and I would just call it and I wouldn't talk. And the woman on the other side was so fucking aggravated. But I kept calling her because she sounded like my first grade teacher and I was certain it was her.
Oh my God. But why wouldn't you talk?
Because I was nervous. But...
How old were you?
Like 9. Okay, 8 or 9 years old.
That's better then.
Yeah, no, it didn't happen yesterday. Because that'd be weird.
But I'm thinking like a 15-year-old, like, you sound like my first grade teacher.
No, at 15, I was skipping school and making prank phone calls with an assumed voice.
Yes, using the telephone book.
Letting them know that their kids trampled all over my fucking yard. And
kicked my
there
dog.
Was one person who actually was like super apologetic about it. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
That's so funny.
That's terrible. I'll never be a teenager again.
Thank God.
Amen.
For me.
For you. And me.
I suppose.
Wait, because on my, like, thank God that I won't be a teenager for you, or thank God you'll never be a teenager again?
Thank God I'll never be a teenager again.
Thank God.
Yes.
Yeah. I like the more woke Stephanie.
And for you, too.
I have a backbone now.
Yes.
I don't know when that happened.
And I wouldn't be paranoid if I ever smoked weed again to be around you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm a different human for sure.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank God. Thank God for growth.
Oh, my gosh.
For both of us.
For both of us. That tears you, but your drink is gone.
My drink is gone. It's all in me. Can't you tell? Look at my face. No.
I know.
No, you can't tell?
I just will look at your face.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. That's why I told you earlier when we got here. I was like,
would only look at my face if she liked it.
Can't remember the last time we had this conversation. Oh, you have a face? Oh, it's not terrible.
Oh my God. That might have been the same episode where you were asking if I was thou, aren't thou?
Oh, aren't thou?
Aren't thou words? Whatever.
Aren't thou what we're taught?
That's what it was. Yes. I was recently watching that video.
I don't know why I remember that.
Because it was a great video. Good job this week, Biff.
Thanks.
Read more Carolyn Hacks.
I know, we do love her.
And Carolyn, we're in Massachusetts too. So if you want to be friends with us.
If you want to write us any
if you want questions. Us to answer the ones you sent to readers, right?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know she did that.
Yeah.
That'd be perfect.
It's like the Washington Post has it every few weeks where it's like, you know, the readers are responding to this one. I'm like, yes.
Oh, is that like the, oh my God, I'm not even touching this question. Let someone else do it.
Probably. We'll find out. Yes. We'll find out. We're going to look at them.
Yes, we are.
Actually, that's not a bad one to
we have. Actually that's do a have episode. A Carolyn question that we are saving for a different time. So
excellent.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll put them together.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then, you know, thanks for like hanging out with us for this whatever amount of time this is going to turn out to be.
Yeah.
After we edit it.
Yeah.
And catch us next week when we do this all over again.
Yes, just with a different drink.
And different advice columnist. Maybe one we can fight with. Mono y mono. We don't like to disagree with them.
The last one we fought with, we never read again.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was not.
Yeah.
We won't go there again.
No, that's what we said the last time we read him.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, until then, you know, you're just going to have to listen to all of our old episodes and catch our show notes for the sources and really hang out with all those advice columnists that have made this 100 and something plus episodes.
Yeah.
Right?
I like it.
Yeah. And you're beautiful. You're wonderful. Everything about you reeks of confidence.
Don't tell your 3-year-old.
And drink my sangria. And thank you for listening.
You've been ill-advised.
Right? Drink my sangria.
Yeah.
That's so gay.
Sangria made me think of gray sweatpants, and there's nothing gay about that.
I thought sangria because my name is Ray. So I'm going to do that over.
No. I
hate this podcast. Ill-Advised is hosted and produced by Stephanie and Ray,
aka your Biffs.
Send us your questions, your comments, all of your concerns,
and your drink recommendations
to illadvisedpodcast@gmail.com. You can catch up on all of our episodes and our show notes at illadvisedthepodcast.com.
Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at illadvisedthepodcast. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe
on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen.
You've been ill-advised.